Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. Ann Arbor, Michigan is the broadcast home of PIVTR, Voices of the People United We Roar, InternetVoicesRadio.com. And now from 5 to 5:30, let me present to you today's women with K.L. McLaughlin. Good afternoon, K.L.
Good afternoon, Lillian. Thank you so much. And welcome, everyone, to today's women, a show dedicated to the idea of women living happy, healthy, successful lives. And I'm your host, K.L. McLaughlin. Now, in the past, we've had so much fun talking with Dr. Mona Barbera that we are going to try something new. The first Tuesday of every month, starting this month, we are going to get to pick Dr. Mona Barbera's brains. So email me your questions, send them in through the PIVTR website or through my website, klmclaughlin.com, which I'll give to you again at the end of the show. And we are going to get to pick her brain about all kinds of relationship topics. And the first one that I really wanted to tackle today is something that I think everybody has thought about. Right, whether you are, you know, 15 and going on your first group date, or you're 35 and dating, or you're 70 and getting back into it. And that is this, your new relationship. How do you know it if it's healthy and right for you? So that's what we're going to discuss today with Dr. Mona Barbera. So welcome, Dr. Mona. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be with you again, Lori.
Oh, thank you so much. And I hear congratulations are in order.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my book won the Benjamin Franklin last Thursday. They had a big awards dinner, and it was great. Such a shock.
Oh, and that's the Bring Yourself to Love that we've had the wonderful opportunity of discussing. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So that remember that title, folks, Bring Yourself to Love. It is an award-winning book now, and well-deserving, I must say. I absolutely love it. My copy's dog-eared and underlined and highlighted, and it's just a fabulous, fabulous book. So much congratulations.
Thank you.
So now today we wanted to talk about new relationships and how to kind of figure out if they're the right thing. I mean, so often, you know, the new relationship, there's such a rush of emotion. There's that rush of the chemicals. There's the physical attraction. But in a relationship, we want so much more than that. So how do we, when we're sort of in this still new blush of excitement, how do we try to figure out if it's healthy and if it's got potential to be right for us?
Right, and so much has to do with our own intuitions, because when I talk to single people about their dating experiences, so often they have these little feelings inside, like this guy is feeling reticent, or he has one put out the door, and they don't speak up. They're afraid to speak up. They're afraid they'll hurt someone, push someone away, afraid that they'll speak up in not the right way. And I want to encourage people to trust themselves in all those little feelings that they're having on the second, third, fourth date. Bring those up, because it could become a very rich conversation.
So it's almost about, in order to figure out if a relationship is going to be sort of healthy and right, we ourselves have to stop maybe always playing that game of always putting our best foot forward and wearing a bit of a mask. Because, you know, so many of us, when you're first with somebody, you want them to see the best of you, and we have a protective layer on us as well. So how do we find a way to be honest without being overly vulnerable?
Ah, honest without being overly vulnerable. Okay. So what would overly vulnerable be? Now, we certainly don't want to go into, you know, the torrents of deeply rooted painful feelings that we have. But showing a question or the possibility of being rejected, that I think is appropriate vulnerability if it's present tense oriented. Try to avoid talking about the past, but really do try to talk about what's going on in the present, even if it opens you up to a little bit of potential shame or rejection.
Is it better to get it over with sooner rather than later?
You know, people actually love this. Whether it works out or not, you will have a person respecting you for who you are if you do speak up. And like you say, don't be afraid to show only your best part. Show all of you, because that's what's going to be in the relationship anyway, is all of you, whether you like it or not. And it's just far better. I've heard from women who, you know, had these fabulous dates with lots of sparks, but they just had this sort of like underlying feeling like the guy was just not ready. And I think, you know, what would it have been like if you had said that right when the sparks were flying? It could have become part of the conversation. And maybe a guy who's so used to distancing would be shocked that somebody could actually pick up on him and know him. Maybe he'd like it.
That's a really good point. You know, I mean, so much of what we see in media, whether it's, you know, watching Friends reruns or, you know, in movies about dating rituals, really all of those stories that we love to watch and laugh at and dream about so often are, it seems to me, founded on funny myths or lack of communication.
Right. There's one movie a lot of people are saying, He's Just Not That Into You. Did you see that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So I think those are three or four good examples of speaking up. We've got the Jennifer Goodwin-Jason Long duo,
mm-hmm.
and she ends up blasting him for his sort of reticence and just not committing to anything. And she took a chance. Instead of being the perfect one, she blasted it, but in a connected way, and that's just what he needed.
Describe what you mean by that sort of connected way. Tell us what you mean, and maybe give us another example of that, please.
Well, sometimes we can blast people with shame and blame and not feeling connected in our hearts to them. When she blasts Jason, when she gets that he's really just not going to take a leap with anybody, she's strong and she's powerful and she's loud, but she's connected. And she's right there with him, and boy, does he ever get it. It just knocks his socks off. And he says, well, I better face myself. And of course, that ends up having a happy ending.
So there's an element of, even in difficult communication, the what's in your heart, the motivation behind the communication is just as important as what you say. And we've discussed this a little bit before, but even right from the get-go, at the beginning of a relationship, there's that element of you have to be willing to listen, and you have to be authentic in where you're coming from, because the right words with the wrong intention aren't going to get you anywhere.
Exactly. And if the intention is connected and there's a little bit of curiosity there that maybe you're going to learn something, you don't know everything, and if the motivation is acceptance of the other person as they are, you can say anything, anything, anything. And if you've done it with connection and without shame or blame, that is a great opportunity to evaluate the person's response. And if it does work out, you're going to be evaluating this person's response and experiencing it for a long time. So it's good to notice, how does this person come through when you put some truth into the mix?
So what are certain things that we should look for on that second, third, fourth, fifth date? We've got listening to your inner voice about, you know, going beyond the physical attraction. What are other things that we should be looking for, perhaps in our, you know, either in the other person or in our own feelings when we're with the other person?
Right. The best time to look is when you have spoken up with something maybe a little risky and a little bit true. And you want to look for, how do you feel when the person responds to you? Do you feel like they're there, like they got you? Or do you feel like you're alone, spinning in a void? Do you feel like they're making you wrong and bad for speaking up? Or do you feel like they're taking it in and they're actually maybe going to shift around a little bit inside to meet you? So is it going to be a defensive response, or do you feel like it's workable?
And this is sort of really a little bit about laying the foundation for having healthy communication habits, because changing dynamics later on in a relationship is far more painful than setting them up in a good way to start with.
Yeah. There's always going to be challenges, but it sure is better to meet the ones right in front of you in the beginning. And for instance, most relationships can fall into one of the three main categories of based on security, deep emotional bonding, or excitement. And it's really great if there's a little balance between those three if it's not just one of them. Like the relationships based on security, those are the ones where we choose the person based on he's never going to leave me, he's going to provide for me, and he's not going to make me anxious. He or she is always going to be there for me. The emotional bonding ones are the one that, oh my God, this is my soulmate. I've never felt so heard, so seen, so included, so wanted, so accepted. And then the third one is relationships based on excitement, like, you know, risky, fun, active kinds of things that you know you can count on this person to be your partner in crime. And all of those are good. They all have their own challenges, but it's really dangerous if it's just one of those and only one.
So what are some of the common mistakes that, let's say, women in particular make as they are entering new relationships? One, not listening to the niggling sort of little voice inside your head that says, oh, you know, it's too soon to talk about that, or I just need to give him time. What are some of the mistakes that women, things they tell themselves that inhibit their taking an honest look about what's going on?
Okay. I think women a lot of times tell themselves, Don't give feedback. And then what happens is it leaks out in some kind of irritable, snippy way.
Give me an example of that.
Okay, so let's see. You never plan the date. Okay, you always leave it up to me. So that can leak out if somebody doesn't intentionally bring it up with calm and connection. It can leak out in some kind of little nasty comment like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm always the one to plan it. Some little sarcastic comment, which is not good. First of all, it's not good for communicating what you really mean. And second of all, it's not good for the potential to evaluate the person's response. Because you want to be able to see when you complain about something, how well does the other person respond to your complaints? Do they hear you? Do you feel like they take it in? Do they get defensive and maybe drop the defensiveness in 5 seconds? Or do they just never let you forget that you've, you know, made a sinful mistake by challenging them?
So what are some of the things that women typically look for? Like, let me give you an example. Years ago, I worked with a beautiful lady who had, you know, for lack of a better, she had terrible taste in men. And her second husband totally, you know, absolutely swept her off her feet. And, you know, 5 years and 2 kids later, she's telling me, she's like, you know, I should have known. He treated me like gold, she said. He took me everywhere. He took care of everything. He treated me like gold. But I never really felt like gold.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's this little thing like, well, I should feel good because he's doing all these nice things. And as you can predict, you know, there were all kinds of power dynamic problems in that relationship later on because ultimately she ended up feeling more like his property than his partner. And, it was a disastrous relationship. So to me, that's one of those things that so many women look for, like, oh, well, you know, he pays for this and he takes me here and he does this. It's like we're looking at the wrong things. And it wasn't until, you know, 5 years and 2 kids, she's like, well, I should have paid attention to how I felt when he treated me like that. Because I thought I should have been feeling differently because he was doing these things. I should have felt good. And
yeah.
And I don't think that's so uncommon, those shoulds.
Yeah, that sounds like a person who really needed to be accepted and validated. And that's more like on the security end of the three things, the security, the emotional bonding, and the excitement, that she really needed the security of being accepted and valued. And she didn't pay attention to the emotional bonding. It just wasn't there. The trappings were there, but the emotional bonding wasn't there. And maybe the excitement wasn't there either.
So it seems to me like there are two elements that we're talking to when you're getting into a new relationship. And so it seems like part of it is when you are communicating well over potentially sticky issues, evaluate how they respond. How do they hear you when you yourself are doing a good job communicating?
Exactly.
And then the other piece is really tune in to how you feel, not how you think you should feel.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So how do we do that when that whole rush of emotion is going on? Should we be writing in diaries? Are there any sort of techniques? Is there a checklist we can run through?
Yeah. Well, if it's intense, it's your own. That's something that has guided me and actually helped me in the beginning of my marriage tremendously. If I have an intense feeling of blame, shame, anger, collapse, it's my own and I'm going to look at it. And once I've done a little digging, then I can come back and talk about it and speak up, and then we have that evaluation portion, evaluate how the person's responding. In my case, the guy responded great, and he was a keeper. But first I had to do my work. In fact, yeah. I made a commitment to myself about the first 18 months of my relationship. I committed to myself that every time I felt some intense reaction, I was going to make it about me. And boy, this lucky guy just never got blamed for 18 months. And it just let him get so close to me and take a chance that he might not have otherwise have taken.
That's really powerful. And, I mean, your book, Bring Yourself to Love, has a lot of ways to help us look at ourselves that way. And when we're talking about new relationships, I think part of what we need to be aware of is that we always need to remember we're always in a relationship with ourselves.
Yes.
And that relationship can't get swept under the rug because this new wonderful partner or potential partner has emerged.
Exactly, and in fact, relationship is going to magnify your relationship with yourself. Whatever it is that is unfinished or wobbly, it's going to show up in relationship more so, because you're going to find yourself blaming the other person for exactly what it is that's going on with you. I had this experience with this woman recently where she was complaining that when her husband idolized her or loved her or appreciated her, it felt like he didn't know her. Like, it was like, what are you idolizing? You don't know me. And it turned out that was exactly her own issue. She had two pretty self-focused parents, and she grew up feeling not known. So she ended up blaming her mate for that which she was carrying around inside herself.
Wow. And I can imagine how that strange that would have been for her partner, who, if his, you know, praise was coming from a genuine place, that must have felt very rejecting.
Yeah, he was like, I just don't get what's going on. What's wrong with me? Now, he's got his own issues about giving appreciation and not feeling connection. But that's his story, and he has to look at that as well.
Well, and, you know, the great relationships are those that help nurture each person on their own journey.
Yes, but only if you really own it as your own journey. And you know, that's a good point. The great relationships give you challenges that interest you, I think, because every relationship is going to have a challenge. But does meeting those challenges that you get from that person make you into a better person, into a person that you find more interesting?
Or happier or more peaceful or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not a challenge you would have picked if you got to choose your top three challenges, like mine would be skinnier, richer, and maybe have more friends or something. But when you do meet them, are they challenges that really, when you look at them, that really is a great challenge for you to meet? That if you listen better, you're less angry, more vulnerable. Are those really making you into a better person?
Well, and I do believe that in a cosmic way, the world throws at you the things which you need to work on. So, I mean, clearly, for me, the year 2009 is learning how to cope with stress better. I mean, there's no question. That's what my goal is this year. And I'm making real progress. But I'm not making progress because my life is going smoothly. You know, there are any number of challenges. But it's interesting for me as I grow on my own journey, you know, that which comes to me. And I think that relationships are a part of that, not the totality of that, but a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. So if you can welcome with curiosity the stresses that this new mate is bringing to you, you know, mix and match them inside yourself and see what's going on and if they're triggering something in you. Do your own digging and then come out and speak up and then keep your eyes open about how that guy responds.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've found myself a keeper, and he's not my source of stress. It's everything else that's bringing stress into my life. But I think that there's so much that we can learn by being willing to be just a little bit more still and a little bit more observant, both of ourselves and of other people that we're in relationships with, whether they are intimate relationships or business relationships or whatever. Just the nature of human interaction, if we can approach life from that slightly more still place, it kind of takes less out of us. Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
that stillness will let you listen into yourself and will let you listen to what the other person is saying. And there's just no way you can go wrong if you have that stillness and space.
For me, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, the stillness helps me let go of some of my control. I mean, most things in life truly are outside of our control, and that's just truth. About all we can control is what we do and how we respond to what is done to us. That's about all that we can control. And, you know, when the moving company all of a sudden gives you a date that's, you know, 5 days later than you expected, and there's going to be, you know, two kids and a dog and all the rest of us someplace with no stuff, you know what? It's okay. It's outside my control. There's nothing I can do about it.
Right. Don't waste energy fighting it.
Exactly. And I want to ask you, how does that happen in the course of relationships? What do people waste energy on that we can stop doing and get to the heart of the issue?
People waste energy on blaming the other person for their intense feelings of distress. And it goes nowhere. It doesn't bring us relief, and it doesn't communicate anything clear and powerful to the other person.
Wow, that's very clear. That's a great answer.
Yeah. So whenever we hear those blaming, shaming thoughts, even if we're just starting to date somebody or if we're in a long-term relationship, make a U-turn, a Y-O-U-turn, and turn it back to you. If it's intense, it's your own. It's often hard for people to believe how well this works if they don't try it. So I'm saying just do an experiment and try it, and maybe you'll be surprised at how well it works. So for your own peacefulness and for how much better your relationships are going to be.
Well, and the other analogy that you and I have talked about, same concept, different language, which is, you know, nobody can push your buttons like, you know, the person you're in a relationship with, but the button is your own. So how different is the world if, you know, you're on a date, somebody pushes your buttons, and instead of responding through the anger or the blaming or the shaming, you can say, wow, you know, that's kind of a real issue for me. And, you know, when you do this, I get all tense inside. Or when you say this, what I actually heard was all this other stuff. So, you know, in a long-term relationship, it's easier for me to think of examples of that. But, like, you know, when you said, oh, you know, are you going to put the laundry away? What I heard was, why haven't you already put the laundry away? You're lazy. You don't do all this stuff. And, of course, that wasn't the question at all, and that wasn't what was said at all. But when I can respond by saying, wow, when you said that, I heard X, Y, and Z, my partner's face can just fall and go, oh, my gosh, that's not what I meant at all. I was just literally curious, are you going to be doing it this afternoon?
Right.
And that changes the whole nature of communication. And taking that risk early on and seeing how the person you're on the date with responds to that can, you know, help you stop wasting time. And isn't that part of why we want to early on begin healthy communication and healthy evaluation so we don't end up wasting,
excellent,
you know, 6, 8, 9 months or more on somebody who we could have known a month into it wasn't going anywhere?
Yeah. Here's another example. I had a friend who found this guy who was totally into processing his feelings. And at first it felt like nirvana to her. Oh, my God, finally I have somebody who will talk to me. But underneath it, she was feeling just kind of bored with it all. And when she finally spoke up, she found out that his processing really came from a place of anxiety for him. And he really couldn't have fun. And he couldn't just even have like a normal laid-back date. It always had to be this intense processing. And when she spoke up, she found out that really he couldn't change. He just had always to be doing intense processing. So she realized, well, I can't do this. This is not for me. So it could be anything. You, like this woman who thought she had the gold, she thought she should feel like gold.
Yeah.
If you're starting to get those little feelings like something is missing, speak up, because your guy might actually be capable of more than he is letting on, or you might find out that this is all he's capable of, and better to know it sooner rather than later.
And sort of at the heart of all of this, at the center of all of this, is the self-love and self-leadership that is, or should be, you know, the healthiest driving focus of our lives. So if we want other people to value us, we really do have to learn how to value ourselves, which means we have to learn how to listen to ourselves and how to love ourselves, which means all these techniques that we're talking about communicating with curiosity, with openness, even if it's very clear and very direct. You know, we're not, we talked earlier about sort of very powerful communication, but coming from that place of real honesty and insight, we have to do that with ourselves so that we can also do it with a partner. We have to do our own work so that we can be ready when the relationship comes as well. And I'm a big advocate
exactly.
of that because it changed my life. You know.
Oh, good to hear that.
You know, absolutely changed my life. And I advocate that for everybody. But it really does start with, you know, Steve Harvey would call it, you know, we have to put a high price on ourselves. Or, but it's about understanding and respecting who we are as people and believing that we are worthy of real love, and we don't have to settle. It's about more than just being happy somebody wants us. We
exactly.
want, if we want the long haul, we've got to pay attention early on and be healthy with ourselves and with our partner.
Yeah. I know a lot of us, myself included, have all kinds of beliefs about self-worth. And one of the things that I talk about in the book and in the internal family systems model that I use in the book is that all parts are welcome. Even the parts that you think are bad or don't belong, like this woman's doubting that she didn't feel like gold, that's probably a part that was speaking up to her and she was trying to push it away. And instead, if you can think, all parts are welcome, I'm going to listen to everything inside me, you will find many more ways to get to the self-love and the self-worth than you knew were there. It's
and
like almost every path can lead you there.
And in turn, I believe that opens you up to be receiving more and more love from others as well.
Yeah, it does. When you speak up clearly and without blame and shame, I guarantee to everyone out there that they will get more love than they have been getting. And sometimes in surprising places, in surprising moments.
Well, unfortunately, believe it or not, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wait until the first Tuesday of July to talk with you again. But before you go, I want to say thank you so much for joining us, and please tell everybody where they can get a hold of your book, the name of your book, and how to find you.
Okay, it's Bring Yourself to Love, and they can go to bringyourselftolove.com, or I've got a lot of mini articles on topics like this. And they can send me an email there, and I would be if they mention your show, K.L. McLaughlin's show, I'd be happy to send them 2 free chapters.
Wow, you heard it first here, folks. That's very generous. Thank you so much. And everybody, email in your questions for Dr. Mona to me at the show on the PIVTR website. Lillian will give you the info for that in just a moment. And as always, feel free to go to my website, klmclaughlin.com. That's KLMCLOUGHLIN.com, and I will, you know, take your questions and we'll run them by Dr. Mona, and we will just continue to pick her wonderful brain to bring ourselves more love in our lives. Until next week, may your week be filled with love. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for joining us with Dr. Maura Barbera and K.L. McLaughlin in Today's Woman, And if you want to hear this all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the right-hand side of the page, you see the letters VIP. Follow directions to download an MP3 stream. The proceeds go to donated to three charities. One is in Amberg, Wisconsin, where the missionary helps the migrant workers and homeless. One is a soup kitchen in Detroit, Michigan, and they help to rehabilitate people released from prison and the homeless. And a third is a shelter that helps girls and women today from all walks of life and levels to get themselves where they need to be. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for a listener's enjoyment. And before you go away, Andrei Anton Riviero had this to say in the late 18th century, a witticism is a minor work that does not merit a second edition. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a gay old time, as I say. Our next program coming up is with Diane T. Carden with poets and bards from around the world. So thank you very much for listening, and remember, please keep listening. Thank you.